So we're continuing our sugyas of Shas topics, so which gives us pretty much a free rein to talk about whatever we want. So I thought that our next major topic would be the issue of kavana, the issue of intent, as it relates to so many different areas of halacha. Kavana in terms of yisurim, kavana in terms of mitzvahs, kavana in terms of going back to some of the things we touched on a little bit in terms of kinyanim, in terms of other chalosim, gittim, and kedushin, and assorted things. That kavana is such a major component of the world of halacha. So let me try to give a little bit of an overview as to some of the kolam, what is kavana, what is not kavana, some of the differences between kavana and das, and lishma, and when kavana is necessary, when it's the chachilim with the yevet, many, many different dimensions of this sugya. So I thought we would start with the issue of kavana, particularly as it relates to the violation of Isurim, starting with the sugya of Dov Hashem Miskavim. Those who are learning with Sechah Shabbos have bumped into Dov Hashem Miskavim many, many times. So the truth is that the sugya of Dov Hashem Miskavim is probably not really a Shabbos sugya. It's really a sugya of Kol HaTorah Kula. There's a fundamental machlokes HaTanoim about the following question. If a person involves himself in an action, and that action is an action that's permissible, we'll call it action A. And it happens to be, there's a chance, we don't know for sure, but there's a chance that action B may take place. Action B happens to be a nisser. Again, we're Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Kol HaTorah Kula. The question is, can I do action A? Is there anything wrong with doing action A, knowing that there's a possibility that action B may take place, even though I'm not really interested necessarily, I don't know what's going to happen, I'm not interested in happening, it's not my goal, it's not my intention, so to speak, it's not my kavana, but there's a chance that it may happen. Am I permitted to do action A or not? So this is the machlokes HaTanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yehuda says that in Kol HaTorah Kula, Dov Hashem Miskavein is Osir, and Rabbi Shimon says that in Kol HaTorah Kula, Dov Hashem Miskavein is Mutter. That's the machlokes. How do I know that this machlokes is not really a Shabbos machlokes? Because there's a Mishnah in Maseches Nazir, where the Mishnah speaks about a Nazir, vis-a-vis the Isra of a Nazir cutting off his hair. Obviously a Nazir cannot literally cut his hair, that would be an Isra in the Torah. What if a Nazir does an action that may pluck out some of the hairs? So even though the Torah describes a Nazir not getting a literal haircut, the halacha tells us that even if a Nazir plucks out two hairs, base iris, that's also considered to be the equivalent of this Isra. How do we know base iris? Where did that come from? So that's one of the shiurim that were halacha l'moshe b'sinai b'pashtus. So if a Nazir plucks out even two hairs, he's in violation of tar l'yava rosho. The question is, he doesn't do it intentionally, he does it unintentionally. He's involved in, he's playing with his payas. He's rubbing, he's taking a shampoo, he's doing something that sometimes pulls hairs out, sometimes doesn't pull hair out. So the Mishnah says, Beferish, that Nazir chofer b'mefasveis, that it's permissible for a Nazir to rosh his hair, it's permissible for a Nazir to curl his payas, b'mefasveis, and play with his hair. That's perfectly okay. So the Gemara says, how could that be okay? There's a chance that some of the hair is going to come out. So the Gemara says, you see from here, that this Mishnah must be following the view of Rabbi Shimon, that Dov Hashem Miskavein is Mutter. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda would hold that Dov Hashem Miskavein is, would be Osir. So this machlok is Rabbi Rabbi Shimon. Is this a machlok on a level of the Araisa? Is this machlok on a level of the Rabbanan? So the Pasha of Shah in the Gemara is that this machlok is on a level of the Araisa. The Gemara seems to quote in other sugyas indications that when Rabbi Yehuda said that Dov Hashem Miskavein is Osir, he meant that it's really Osir. It's absolutely Osir. No question about it. It's a real Issa Gavim in HaTorah. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Gavim. Rabbi Shimon says not only is it not an Issa Deraisa, it's not even an Issa Derabbanan. So you don't always have machlokes like that. Usually the machlokes and the Tanoim are much centered, much closer to one another. One will say Chayim, one will say Potev al Osir. Very rarely do you have a case where one Tana says it's an Issa Gomer Deraisa, and the other one says that. Teta Gomer Lechatchila. But you have it every once in a while. So this is one of them. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, this would be an Issa Deraisa. According to Rabbi Shimon, it would be totally mutter. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Yuma that discusses the view of Rabbi Yehuda, the view of Dov Hashem Miskavein, and the Gemara said something, some very, very cryptic comment about the view of Rabbi Yehuda in the context of the Beis HaMikdash. Those of you may remember, we spoke about this in a Shabbat Shuvah Drasha, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. The Gemara Maseches Yuma talks about the practice that they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash and Yom Kippur, that the mikveh would be cold. You get a late Yom Kippur into October, and Kangal could be an older man, and he's going to get a good Yerushalayim chilly night. The mikveh is going to be freezing cold, so how do they heat up the mikveh for the Kohen Gadol? So obviously you can't do it. This is their ice, and heat up the mikveh in Yom Kippur. So they had a little kind of a kunz that they would heat up metal rods from before Yontif. They would keep them on the fire, and they would throw them into the water on Yom Kippur morning. That would take out some of the chill of the water. So there's a whole discussion about, is there some halacha involved in doing that action? So the potential halacha involved is that if you take a piece of hot metal and you cool it off quickly in water, that may be what's called mitzaref. Mitzaref is the question, what exactly that is. According to some Rishonim, it's an issa of like Macha B'Patish. that apparently, I don't know too much about heating metal, but apparently if you heat metal and then you cool it off very quickly, that will straighten the metal. So the Gemara raises the question that maybe there's some malach involved in taking the hot rods and throwing them into the water. So the Gemara has some kind of line in the middle of it. It's a long shach v'tar in the Gemara, but the Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara has some kind of a line that, no, this is different because it's only derabbanan. The question is, and what does that mean exactly? So the Rashi learns in that Gemara, what the Gemara means is as follows. That even though it happens to be the Tana Rav Yehuda who was speaking there, it's Rav Yehuda was the one who's relating that this was the practice in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Yehuda is saying that it's okay because since the Isser of Matzarif, whatever this Isser of Matzarif is only an Isser D'Rabbanan, even if you would do it explicitly, even if you would plan on doing this act of cooling off the metal, this wouldn't be a real Malacha D'Araisa. So whenever the Isser involved is it worse than Isser D'Rabbanan, then Dovah Shem Miskava becomes Mutter according to Rav Yehuda. So the way Rashi sizes up the sugya of Masechus Yuma, the Gemara is putting the brakes on the view of Rabbi Yehuda. That from the Rabbi Murim, that Rabbi Yehuda said that Dovah Shem Miskavein is Osir, that's only on an Isser D'Araisa. That's like the case of the Nazir. The Nazir is trying to play with his hair, and there's a chance that some of the hair may fall out. So that, if the hair falls out, that'll be an Isser D'Araisa. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be prohibited. Mashiach came in the case of Mitzarev, where even if you did it intentionally, worse comes to worse, it wouldn't be a real malacha. So therefore, it's only a derabbanan, and therefore, Davashen Miskavin is mutter. So what does that mean? What kind of lumdus is that? How can that be? Either you hold Davashen Miskavin is a problem, or you hold Davashen Miskavin is not a problem. How can you split between deraisas and derabbanan? So Kiveger has an insight into the sugya that really becomes basic to understanding the whole sugya of Davashen Miskavin. Kiveger raises the following question. He says, let's analyze the view of Rabbi Yehuda. The Yehuda says that Dovah Shem Miskavin is also, and it's an Issa D'Araisa. How can it be an Issa D'Araisa? There's only a chance that the Issa is going to take place. So says Rabbi Kiveger, you have to say that it's an Issa D'Araisa, but there is Sofek. It means every time you do action A, if there's a 50-50 chance that the Issa B may take place, so then we have to Aser Maisa A, because of Sofek D'Araisa L'Chumra. This is a little bit of a throwback to the Shmaitzis Sigyas. Remember back to last year, the Gemara says the Farish that Sveka Derais is Lechumra. If I have a piece of meat in front of me and I don't know whether it's Chazer or not, I'm not permitted to eat it. Sveka Derais is Lechumra. So according to the Rambam, that itself is only an Issa D'Rabbanan. Most Rishon probably don't hold like the Rambam. Most Rishon like the Rashi and the Ran, that the principle of Sveka Derais is Lechumra is a principle on a level of the Araisa. So it comes Rabbi Kiveger and says that when Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not allowed to do an action of Dovah Shem Miskavein, that's not Bateris Vadai. It's not that we know for a fact that Malach is going to happen. It's not that we know for a fact that the hair is going to come out. It's a 50-50 chance. So the reason Rabbi Yehuda asked it is because of Sveikah Derais and Lechumra. So, and the Chacham disagreed on that. Rabbi Shimon disagrees even on that. Rabbi Shimon says no. That Sveikah Derais and Lechumra means when I have a piece of meat and I don't know whether it's Chazer or not, that's Sveikah Derais and Lechumra. But when I'm doing action A and you want to tell me don't do action A because maybe action B will happen, action B isn't misyachis to me. Action B is not my action. Action B has nothing to do with me. So it's not even a suffix. According to Rabbi Shimon, Dov Shem Biskavin is not my ma'isa, but Chal has nothing to do with me. So, but Rabbi Yehuda disagreed. Rabbi Yehuda says it is my ma'isa, and we're going to ask for Bateris suffix. So then Rabbi Kiveger says that it makes a lot of sense. If the Isser of Dov Shem Biskavin is only Bitorah Sofek, so then the distinction between Derais and Derabbanan is perfectly understandable. Sveka Derais is Lechumra, Sveka Derabbanan is Lekula. So if the issue is like a Nazir, question of a Nazir pulling out the hairs, if there's a chance, even a 50% chance of the hairs coming out, so the Nazir cannot play with his payas because there's a 50% chance he may do an Isser, and that Isser would be a Derais. So that's called Sveka Derais is Lechumra. Lashayn can in the case of Mitzarev, since even if you did Mitzarev, Rashi holds, the whole issue would only be a Derabbanan. So Sveka Derabbanan Lekula, therefore Dov Shem Miskavin is Mutas. That's how Rashi sizes up the sugya. According to Rikivega, this basic Chiddush, this insight, that Dov Shem Miskavin, even if it's Asur, can never be Asur B'Teres Vadai. It doesn't make any sense to be Asur B'Teres Vadai. It's only Asur B'Teres Sofik. This is Rikivega's understanding of the sugya. So this is all fine according to Shittas Rashi, that Rashi drew a distinction between the Raisas versus the Rabbanans. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. It's a long, long Tosfos in Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph. And I say long, I mean long. My son, they were learning at Tosfos, and it was a fairly long Tosfos. So he said, but this is like a really long Tosfos. Like, well, it must be one of the longest Tosfos in Shas. I said, I don't know if this is it. This is the Tosfos. I'll show you Tosfos. I showed him a Tosfos. I showed him a few Tosfos that were. Okay, so put everything into perspective. I guess from the eyes of a ninth grader, you know, if the Tosfos takes 2 days to do in Shia, it must be a very, very long Tosfos. So the Tosfos in Maseches Yuma Daf Lamed Daled disagrees entirely with Rashi and learns that Rashi's whole shot of the sugya was not correct. When the Gemara in Maseches Yuma used the word deraisas and derabanans, the Gemara didn't mean to say that the act of mitzarif is a nisa deraisa or a nisa derabanan. The Gemara wasn't addressing that issue. What the Gemara was addressing was as follows. The Gemara was qualifying the view of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says that b'medev ha-mamurim, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, that davar she'eino miskaved is a real problem in HaTorah, that's bishar isurim. But on Shabbos, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's at worst only a nisa derabanan. So totally different words of deraisa derabanan. Deraisa and derabanan aren't addressing the act per se, whether it's a malacha deraisa and malacha derabanan. The words deraisa and derabanan are differentiating within different areas of halacha. That Rabbi Yehuda sheet of Dov Shein Miskaved, B'med Devar Mamurim, that it's also min HaTorah, that's in Uchaz Nazir, that's in other areas of halacha. But in Uchaz Shabbos, even Rabbi Yehuda concedes that there's no way that Dov Shein Miskaved could possibly be a deraisa. My Manishtan Shabbos from Shari Surim. So this is the first of many distinctions that we will come up with in this sugya and future sugyas. That Shabbos works with its own set of rules. Shabbos is radically different than other areas of halacha because of two magic words, and of course the two magic words are Malachas Machshavas. That Malachas Machshavas means that in order to be chayav at Shabbos, you have to do something in a positive, constructive, thought-out, well-planned way. If anything you do on Shabbos is missing those criteria, so those who are learning Daf Yomi, the guy shooted the arrow 4 amos, goes 8 amos, the guy didn't mean to carry this, meant to do this, he made a mistake. All kinds of mistakes. Anything where there's a problem in your kavanah, in your intention, so we automatically give you a p'tor called Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah. The term Malachas Machshavas doesn't appear by Hilchos Shabbos in the Chumash. It appears by Malachas HaMishkan, and it doesn't even appear by the Parshas Truman. It appears in Parshas Vayakel. When the Torah is describing, when Moshe is telling him again to get ready to build a Mishkan, then it says, Lasos B'cho Malachas Machshavas. So there's no place, the term Malachas Machshavas doesn't appear. It's Malachas Machshavas in Makarev. Right? Okay? So the Malachas Machshavas as the Torah is a famous Gemara. So comes Tosfos and says, that's the Pshat of Rabbi Yehuda. That in Hilchos Nazir and in other areas of Halacha, then Dov Shein Miskaved is a nisa deraisa. In Hilchos Shabbos, even Rabbi Yehuda concedes that Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah, and therefore there's no possible nisa deraisa. At worst, it's only a nisa derabanan. So it comes out, according to Tosfos, that there are really two different issues that the Tanaim are arguing about in the Sukkah of Dov Shein Miskaved. If you look through Shas, you find Dov Shein Miskaved in Nazir, and you find it in Shabbos, and your initial reaction is also all the same question. So Tosfos says it's not all the same question. They're two different questions. One is a question on a level of Deraisa, that's by Nazir and Shari Surah, and one is a question on a level of Derabanan by Shabbos. Is there any connection between the two? Are they just happen to be two? Coincidentally, there's a machlekes atarayim about a deraisa, and coincidentally, there's a machlekes about a derabanan. So the Pasha says, no, it's not coincidental at all, for the following reason. That there is a basic question, when you learn Hilchos Shabbos, so you find that sometimes a certain action is potter min haTorah and Shabbos. So you have to always ask yourself the question, is the p'tur a localized Hilchos Shabbos din, or is it a kol Torah kula dikah din? Why is it that action X happens to fall short of being a malacha? Is this something which is a Hilchos Shabbos sugya, or is it something which is a kol Torah kula sugya? If it's Hilchos Shabbos sugya, that means it's learned out from Lechus Machshaves, it's a special exercise of Hilchos Shabbos, it doesn't relate to other areas of halacha, then more likely it's going to still be prohibited mid the Rabbanan. Because basically what you're doing is an aveira. Basically what you're doing is something that should be a ma'isa isser. It's just the Torah gives you a quirk, a break. There's a yetzim in a cloud called Lechus Machshaves. So that's the cloud that many of the poskim have, that whenever something is fundamentally usser, Haraya, it's also in 612 other areas of halacha. It's just a p'tur and Hilchos Shabbos. P'tur and Hilchos Shabbos tend to be potter of al-asa. Whereas if you have something which is a p'tur and kol Torah kula, the Torah in other areas of halacha doesn't consider this to be a problem. If it's not a problem b'chlal, so then it becomes mutter. So that's why the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are the shittasim. Rabbi Shimon holds that there's a p'tur and kol Torah kula kula, Dov Shein Miskaved. Say, Dov Shein Miskaved, it's not an aveir, it's nothing. It's mutter in Nazir, it's mutter here, it's mutter in Shatnez, it's mutter in Chai. You name the area of halacha, it's mutter. Finished. In Dov Shein Miskaved, the Torah doesn't address the Dov Shein Miskaved. Het the gomer, no shalat, no questions asked. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, it's not called mutter in Shabbos, it's mutter l'chatchila. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to drag a chair, the famous sheet of Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to drag a chair on the dirt, even though there's a chance you may make a hole. It's mutter l'chatchila shu l'chatchila Dov Shein Miskaved. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, Dov Shein Miskaved is a din klali, it's a din that permeates kol Torah kula. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Dov Shein Miskaved is not a din klali. According to Rabbi Yehuda, by Nazir, it's not Asr. Kavana, you can be over an Isr even without Kavana. Elawat, Rabbi Yehuda holds, that happens to be, just as an aside, as a Ptur in Uchashavis, because of Belech's Machshavis Asr Torah, that Ptur knocks it down from a Deraisa, but is it Matra Lagamre? So there is a connection between the two Machlekes. So the bottom line is, when all the dust settles, we have a running Machlekes in Shabbos and in Kol Terakula, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that according to Rabbi Shimon, Dov Shimon's Kavan is always Mutter. Shabbos, Kol Terakula, everything is Mutter. No questions asked. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, in Kol HaTarakula, Dov Hashem Miskaven is awesome in a Torah, and in Shabbos, the Dov Hashem Miskaven is at least not awesome in a Torah, but it's going to be awesome in the Rabbanan. How do we pass in the Halacha, in the Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? So based on the regular Klali HaPsach, the Gemara Erevin tells us in the fourth paragraph that normally the rule is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda. So 99% of the time, we pass in like Rabbi Yehuda. But Gemara says that those klolim that we have, that the Amoraim developed, those klolim, not a paskin, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Lach, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Lach, Rabbi Yehuda, again, all the klolim that appear in Erevin in the fourth parak, the Gemara says all of those klolim can be trumped if the Gemara itself says that's not that way. It means every once in a while there's a Yetzim in a klal. So here the Gemara says that this is one of the Yetzim in a klal. This is one of the few places where we follow Rabbi Shimon against Rabbi Yehuda. We pass in that, like Rabbi Shimon, the Dov Hashem Miskaven is mutter. Therefore, Lemaisa, we assume Halacha, the Dov Hashem Miskaven is mutter, and finished like Rabbi Shimon. The only problem is that the only place that the Gemara says that explicitly, that we follow Rabbi Shimon, happens to be in Hilchos Shabbos. That's the case the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara says, Kora Ada Mita Kisi B'Safso, that you're permitted L'chadchila to drag a chair on the dirt, even though there's a 50% chance that a charitz, that a home may be made. The Gemara says, that's okay, because we pass in Halacha. The Gemara says, Rabbi, held that way. Maisa, he tell people, the Maisa that way, we pass in Rabbi Shimon, that it's mutter, Dov Hashem Miskaven is mutter. So the Bishon have a further machlokes, just because we pass in the Dov Hashem Miskaven is mutter in Hilchos Shabbos, does that automatically mean we pass that way in Kol Terakula? Because remember, we said that it may not be the same issue. According to Tosfos, there may be two, they're related issues, but may not be identical. So just because we're make like Rabbi Shimon in one area of Halacha, doesn't mean that we have a right to make like Rabbi Shimon Lagamra, even in all areas of Halacha. So that's the Machlokes in Rishonim. So that's the Machlokes Tosfos and the Shi'iltos. So the Shi'iltos claims that the buck stops here in Hilchos Shabbos. That means in Hilchos Shabbos, we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Because after all, Hilchos Shabbos, the stakes are much lower because Melachas Machshavah is anyway. So there's no Deraisa here anyway, as Taisa said. So therefore, the Shulta says that when do we follow Rabbi Shimon? That's in Hilchos Shabbos. But in Kol Terakula, we fall back on Rabbi Yehuda. So we have a split sock, says the Shulta. And Taisa says, Lohayu Devar Miyayim. Taisa, that's not true. Taisa says that we pask in Halacha, that like Rabbi Shimon, Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Kol Terakula, no questions about it. So it's interesting, the Machlokes Tosfos and Shi'iltos appears in, I don't know if it's tomorrow's Daf Yomi, the next day's Daf Yomi. It's the Tosfos about, it's in the middle of the medicine Gemara's in Shemana Shvatzim. So the Gemara talks about certain medicines that a person takes who has certain medical conditions, but one of the side effects of those conditions is that it may cause serous, it may cause the man to become sterile. So the Gemara is a whole shayla, you're allowed to do that, because normally to sterilize a man would be, isn't this a Raisa, so by doing it through the medicine, is that a problem or not? So one of the issues the Gemara raises is that maybe it's a Dov Hashem Miskaven, because I don't want to become sterile. It's a chance that I may become sterile. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about that. So on that daf, so Tosfos quotes the machlokes that they have with the Shultas. So there's not an official Daf Yomi Shir, but we can throw it in for good luck in the next day or two. So getting back to the story. So Lahalacha, we accept Tosfos. When all the dust settles in Shulchan Aruch, we for sure follow the Tosfos against the Shultas. So we're very, very make on Dov Hashem Miskaven. We pass in Dov Hashem Miskaven is mutter in Shabbos, and it's mutter in Kol Terakula. Everything's it's mutter, not on Deraisa, it's mutter Derabban, Lechatchila. Everything, we're home for it. You, whatever you want, as long as you can call it a Dov Hashem Miskaven, then you have nothing to worry about. No Shabbos, no questions asked. But the question is, it has to meet the criteria of what's called Dov Hashem Miskaven. So we have to further understand what exactly is the Kavanah necessary, what the Kavanah not necessary. How do you define whether something is Dov Hashem Miskaven or not? Give me 2 seconds. Let me. after a little break. That's what we're saying. So we'll continue. So comes the Gemara and puts the potential of breaks on this kula called davar shemiskaven. The Gemara says two magic words. The Gemara says b'med v'mamurim, something is a davar shemiskaven when it's really a davar shemiskaven. But if it's what's called a psikoresha meaning that I know for a fact that action B is going to happen, so then you have a whole different ballgame. Then you have a big problem. So there's a famous statement of the Gemara in many places in Masechta Shabbos. Modi Abai v'Rava, the Amri Chavayu, Modi Rabbi Shimon v'psikoresha v'lo yamos. That even Rabbi Shimon, who's the biggest make on Rabbi Shimon's Kavet, says that when you have a psikoresha, that you know for sure that B is going to take place, so Modi Rabbi Shimon v'psikoresha v'lo yamos. That's not called Rabbi Shimon's Kavet anymore. Even though that's not really what the person is planning on doing, he's not really interested necessarily in B, but Modi Rabbi Shimon v'psikoresha v'lo yamos. It would appear from the Gemara pretty clearly that this klal of Rabbi Shimon, that Modi Rabbi Shimon v'psikoresha, is in fact an Issa D'Oraisa. So this is not just a Chumra B'Yalma, this is a real Issa D'Oraisa. It's based on this that the Mishnah Maseches Nazir draws a distinction between the Nazir who's playing with his payas and washing his hair in contrast to the Nazir who wants to brush his hair. So the Mishnah says that although it's mutter for the Nazir to play with his payas because it's a Dovah Shem Miskaven, but for him to actually brush his hair to come out his hair, that's not a Dovah Shem Miskaven anymore, that's already a psikoresha. Sikhsaras Shavu on this ratio means that for sure the hair is going to come out, and that's considered to be a problem. The Marshal, based on the other Makaris and the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, points out that when we say Modi Rabbi Shimon B'Psik Ratio, it doesn't mean it has to be 100%. It can be what we call a Karv L'Psik Ratio also. If it's a very good chance, what constitutes a very good chance? We assume Rov. Again, this is obviously going to be very hard to determine, but if it's more than a 50% chance that the Issa will take place, that's also considered most probably to be a Psik Ratio. So the question is, how do we understand this principle of Psik Ratio in light of the fact that we just spent the first half hour this year talking about Davar Shem Miskaven? You know, we're big Rabbi Shimon believers in Kol Tarkula, Shabbos, that Kavan is such an integral part of what you're doing in order to be Asar, and yet, all of a sudden, when you have a Psik Ratio, so then everything changes. How could that be? What happened to the underlying issue called a lack of kavana? So there's a famous chakira of Rabbi Chon Wasserman that appears in the beginning of Maseches Beitza. It has an interesting historical background in that yeshiva also, because the shiurim of Kovit shiurim were not, I don't think that they were put together by Rabbi Chonan, but a lot of the notes were used by many of the Tamidim in order of putting together the Shurim in the form that they're in now. So different Tamidim were called upon for different sugyas and different Masechtas. So apparently, Rabbi Drumman, that sounds like, remember, Rabbi in the Yeshiva, so he was a Talmud of Rabbi Chon. He had learned in Baranovich when he was a young man. So he, apparently, the way you have to check, the only person who could tell you the story is Ben. Ben was very, Ben Kelson was very, very close with Rabbi Drumman. So he could probably tell you whether the story is a myth or whether the story is true. But the way the story I heard was that this particular sugya of Davar Shem Miskaven and Psikoresha in Kovit Shurim was taken out of Rabbi Drumman's notes. He was the one who was the Baal Dover in terms of the sugya. So check, maybe we'll be a Shachmas, check whether that's in fact the case. But anyway, but it was not, he was a Talmud, very close Talmud of Rabbi Chonan. So comes Rabbi Chonan and raises the following Chakira. How do we understand the relationship? You know, on the one hand, we speak about Davar Shem Miskaven being mutter, and then we turn around and say Psikoresha is also. So Rabbi Chonan says one can understand that in one of two ways. Either one can understand that Rabbi Chonan didn't use the term psychological pshat, but I'll call it that because that's basically what he's describing. We can call it either the psychological pshat or the halachic pshat. What does a psychological pshat mean? Psychological pshat means that Davar Shem Miskaven is mutter because I'm not really being miskaven. Why am I not being miskaven to something? Because I don't even know what's going to happen. So I'm not thinking about what I don't know is going to happen. So no. It's only a 50% chance that the hair's going to come out. I'm not thinking about it. Well, there's only a 50% chance that the hole's going to be made in the ground. So not misyachis to it. If it's only a chance it's going to happen, I don't think about it. But if I know for a fact that something's going to happen, there's no question it's going to happen, or it's a karma lipsy kresha, I'm fairly certain that's going to happen. How can we close my eyes and say that, no, you're not thinking about it, you're not planning on it, you're not intending to it? What if the light sun says that? Of course you're intending to it. If I know that every time I brush my hair, hairs come out, every time I pull a heavy chair, a very, very heavy chair, so a hole is made in the ground, so that's called a davar miskaven. So we can only hide behind davar shen miskaven if the reality is that it's in a miskaven. But if that's not the reality, if the reality is that I know about it, when I know about it, I'm for sure intending to do. So we can no longer hide behind the principle called Davar Shem Miskaven. That's one understanding of Rabbi Chonan. The second shot of Rabbi Chonan, he says, no, that the reason why when something becomes a psikoresha, it loses its status of Davar Shem Miskaven is based on the following. The whole principle of Davar Shem Miskaven is not a psychological issue, it's a halachic issue, that we can divide between your different actions. I'm involved in the action of playing with my payas. That action is Maisa A. Maisa A is a permissible action. Pulling out here is Maisa B. So I'm only doing Maisa A. I'm not doing Maisa B. Since I'm not being miscommon to Maisa B, so don't bother with Maisa B. Or I'm dragging a very light chair. So the act of dragging a chair is what I'm doing. That's a Maisa, that's permissible. There's a chance that Maisa B may take place. So don't bother me with Maisa B. I'm not miscavin to it. I'm not miscavin to it. I can only be held responsible for what I'm being miscavin for, not what I'm not being miscavin for. But sometimes you reach a point in halacha where the line of distinction between A and B becomes very blurred. Namely, it's no longer A, it's no longer B. This is what I call the geometric. It's now called, what is it called, line AB, right? Now it's called one Maisa. Because whenever you have a psikoreisha, what psikoreisha means is that we have to view it as one action. We can no longer just artificially differentiate and say, I'm only doing A, I'm not doing B. There is no A and B. It's AB. It's one action. If every time you drag a heavy chair, a hole is made. Every time you comb your hair, the hair comes out. So we can no longer differentiate between the two in the world of halacha. We can no longer say, you're only doing A, you're not doing B. It's new action called action AB. But the question is, where exactly is the focus of psikoreisha? Where is psikoreisha emanating from? This din that Rabbi Shimon says, modu Rabbi Shimon psikoreisha. Psikoreisha changes all the rules. So where does it come from, the notion of psikoreisha? Psikoreisha is something that emanates from the person's intent. It's a psychological issue that we assume this is what you're really thinking about. You really do want B to take place. Don't deny it. Don't tell us a bivim night that you don't want B. You do want B. Haraya. You know B is going to happen. So basically, psikoreisha undermines the kavana dimension. But do we say no? That psikoreisha is in the world of the base medrash. It's not in the world of the human mind. It's in the world of the base medrash that halachically we can no longer declare that they're two separate actions. The halacha fuses the two actions into one, and that's why psikoreisha is a problem. So very, very lumdish avort, is it the psychological pshat of psikoreisha or is it the halachic pshat of psikoreisha? So my nafkamina, dina, who cares? So Rabbi Chanan goes the next step. So we spoke about this in the past, also a little bit more on some of the Shabbos Yerub. So comes Rabbi Chanan and says, L'chair is going to nafkamina as follows. There is a major machlekes harishonim between the Sefer Aruch and the Bali Atosis about the following question. There are different dagas, there are different levels of psikoreisha. You can have what's called a psikoreisha de nichale, and you can have a psikoreisha de lo nichale. A psikoreisha de nichale is something that not only do I know that action B is going to happen, but in my heart of hearts, I'm pretty happy that it happened. I thought, I'm playing with my hair. I'm not really cutting with my hair. I'm playing with my hair. I'm not really intending to pull out my hair. But you know what? Hair's getting a little bushy. If I pull out a few hairs here and there, so no pun intended, I'll be pretty happy about it. Oh, that's okay. I'm pretty satisfied with what happened. Or I'm pulling a very, very heavy chair. Again, I'm not really farming my land right now. That's not really my intention to make holes. But you know what? If, by the way, the holes happen to come up in the land, I'll be pretty happy because I may start to plant tomorrow morning in my garden. So, you know, I won't be so upset that the holes were made. So that's what's called the psikoreisha de nichale. So the Gemara says, also in the Yomi not too long ago, if something is the chavre, right? If something is a psikoreisha de nichale, that's a disaster. That's the worst of the worst of the worst. That's terrible. Psikoreisha de nichale. But what if it's not a psikoreisha de nichale? What if it's a psikoreisha de lo nichale? What if it's something that I know for a fact that D is going to happen. I'm doing A, and I know for a fact B is going to happen. But between you and me, I couldn't care less whether B happens or not. It's not, doesn't interest me whether the hair comes out. Doesn't interest me whether the hole's made. Most of the Rishonim say, lo nichle means lo ichpas le. It's all the same thing. Rashi in one place seems to say otherwise, but we're going to work with the regular mahalach, that I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. I couldn't care less whether B happens. It's not, it doesn't interest me. But the Gemara calls the Ar de Chavre. I'm pulling a chair in somebody else's land. The chpatli that the guy's going to have a hole in the land. So comes the Rishonim to have a major machlokes now. What do we call a psikoreisha de lo nichale? What exactly is that? So a psikoreisha de nichale, we know is called a psikoreisha. A psikoreisha de lo nichale is up for grabs. So comes the Aruch, the Rosh explains the Aruch and says that a psikoreisha, even if it's the lo nichale, is also called a psikoreisha. It's an absolute psikoreisha, gom min haTorah, whether it's nichale or lo nichale, it doesn't make a difference. That's according to Shidyak, but we're going to qualify that in a minute. I'm presenting it the way I am for a reason. So comes the Aruch and says a psikoreisha, the nichale psikoreisha, the lo nichale, it doesn't matter. And whether the nazir wants to pull out the ear and doesn't want to pull out the ear, if he's combing his hair and he knows for a fact he is going to come out, that's an absolute outright issa d'oraisa, no questions about it. And Taisa says, Taisa says, if it's a psikresha, the low nichalei, so that's nishkem psikresha. That's not considered to be a psikresha. So what's the machlokes Taisa and the Aruch? What are they arguing about? So Bechonin says it's very simple, that according to Taisa, why is a psikresha the low nichalei not a psikresha? Because the whole yisod of psikresha was psychological. That means we can't ignore your thoughts. If you know that B is going to happen, and you want B to happen, so you can't hide behind Davashen and Miskavet. But if Lamaisa, you know B is going to happen, but you really don't want it, you really couldn't care less about it, so that's not called a psikresha. So Taisa says, a psikresha, the lo nichale, is nishkim psikresha. So they had to make an inequality sign on the board, I would say. According to Taisa, there's a Davashen and Miskavet, and then there's a psikresha, the nichalei. Those are two very, very different things. And a psikresha, the lo nichalei, is closer to the davar shenu miskaven. A psikresha, the lo nichalei, when you undermine the nichalei part, when you remove the nichalei part, when you remove the satisfaction of the person, then it's ois psikresha. Because according to Tosis, what created the status of psikresha in the first place was purely psychology. Once that psychology is undermined, then it's no longer psikresha. If it's no longer psikresha, it's a davar shenu miskaven. If it's a davar shenu miskaven, then it becomes mutter. Then it becomes mutter. That's what I'm sorry. Then it becomes mutar. I think I missed the Aruch backwards. I have to go back for a second. Okay. So according to this, take one step back. According to this understanding that the whole din of psikresha is based purely on psychology. So once something is no longer psychological, once I don't really care about it anymore, once it doesn't concern me, doesn't interest me anymore, that we cannot call it a psikresha. Once it's not called a psikresha, then it's vital to call the davar shenu miskaven. Once something is called a davar shenu miskaven, then it becomes totally and completely mutter, no question whatsoever. I flipped the sheet, this is by mistake. I'm sorry, I have to apologize for that. It's still early in the morning. So this, what I just said just now, this is the sheet of Sa'aruch. So comes the Aruch and says, because I was still trying to avoid committing Shabbos to Kotar Kula, that they mixed up the Shittas. So back for a second. So this whole understanding of Rebbe Chanan, that when you have something which is not psychologically a psikresha, I'm not interested in it, I don't care about it, nothing, so then it loses its entire status of a psikresha. Once it's not a psikresha, then it falls back into the regular character of Dovashem Miskavet. So therefore, Dovashem Miskavet is mutter, is mutter, is mutter, finish, end of discussion. However, if you take the other approach to psikresha, that the reason why something becomes a psikresha has nothing to do with psychology. The reason why something is a psikresha has to do with halacha. It's the world of the base medrash. It's the fusion of A and B. A and B just became one unit, one entity. So if I ask you, so why should it make a difference whether it's nichale, whether it's no nichale? The whole nichale issue, that lechor doesn't make any sense. So if you're in the world of the Beis Medrash, and not in the world of the person's mind, you're in the world of the Beis Medrash, then l'chora, the issue whether it's nichale, whether it's lo nichale, should make absolutely no difference. And therefore, if it's a psikresha, it's a psikresha. That's l'chora what the din should be. So that seems to be the other Rishonim. The Rishonim will say that it's still called a psikresha, whether it's nichale, whether it's no nichale. So the only problem is we can't leave the sugya hanging the way it is, because the Gemara Masechet Shabbos says beferush that there is a difference between nichalei and lo nichalei. So the only way to understand that is we have to go back to the question, some of the assumptions that we had before about the relationship between Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula. So we're going to have to finish that part hopefully from next week. So let's just back just for a moment, just because I said it a little bit unclear before. Just Bekitza Nimrats, we have Rav Chanan's Chakira. What the nature of psikresha is. Is psikresha something that's in the world of psychology, or is psikresha something that's in the world of the base medrash? We have a machlekes that we've shown him about a concept of psikresha lo nichalei. Is a psikresha lo nichalei still called a psikresha or not? So according to the Aruch, it's not. According to the Aruch, once it's a psikresha lo nichalei, it's finished, it's gone, it becomes het gomer. And according to Tosfos, a psikresha lo nichalei is still considered to be a psikresha. What's the issue? So Rabbi Chanan says, the issue is, if you hold that it's in the world of psychology, so then the nichalei plays a role. And if it's lo nichalei, it's not a psikresha. If you're in the world of the base medrash, then the psychology doesn't play a role, so then it doesn't matter whether it's nichalei or lo nichalei. So hopefully next week, we have to try to put the rest of the picture together to try to understand how this is going to play out. The fundamental question that we've been raising throughout this year is the relationship between Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula. So are these klolim going to be the same? Dovashem Miskavet, psikresha, nichalei, lo nichalei. This is going to all depend upon how to understand what ultimately constitutes a Dovashem Miskavet and what ultimately undoes Adav Hashem is God. Next week we'll continue.